when I thought there was no way.
And when I thought there was no way,
you led me
to
a brighter day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I think we all would believe that you cannot be saved without the Spirit of God, without the Holy Ghost. However, my friends, the Holy Ghost is simply a leader. It's simply a guide. It leads you to the brighter day. Hallelujah. And without being led, you'll stay right where you're at. Except you believe I am He, said you die in your sins. If you can't let God lead you, you'll be lost. Got the Holy Ghost? Good. Be lost too. Because you don't follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. You must be. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Prodigal son left his home saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me my part, give me my inheritance, daddy, give me, it's mine, and I'll go do my own thing, do it my own way. But his father was still faithful. When the son wasn't faithful, I'm back to that again. God, the father was still faithful. He went away saying, give me. He came back saying, make me. Give me my portion. He come back said, make me a servant. A change of attitude. I think the hardest thing to work on with Christians is attitude. 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 Oh, Lord, Beatitudes. Let's look at 2 Samuel 22 and 1 and 22 and 36. I have really struggled with this, I'll be honest with you, because I felt like it may only affect one or two people. And as a pastor, a preacher, you like to affect everybody, but I God didn't give me anything else. So hopefully the one or two are here this morning and to hear the word of the Lord. I think there's nothing worse than rejection. Can you, anybody agree with me on that? That there's no worse feeling than someone say, I don't want you. I don't believe you. I don't trust you. No worse feeling. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies. He was going to sing a new song. And out of the hand of Saul. Thou hast, this is verse 36, he says lots of things, but I want to go to verse 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And in this song, he said, in thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy gentleness. I'll tell you from the onset, gentleness is a quality. Gentleness is an attitude. Gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. Then in 2 Samuel 19 and 11, and King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah. Say, now Judah was David's people. He was of the tribe of Judah. Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house? Why is it my own people are the last ones to say, come home, king? Seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house. These other tribes are saying, come home, king, come home, king. And my own people yet have not invited me back to my kingdom. I want to talk for a little while when your own bones don't want you home. When your own bones don't want you home, what do you do? Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings today, as Brother Gidros was teaching us. You are faithful to bless us. And many times we get confused while we're stumbling around in sin. You still bless us and we think we're okay because you still bless us. But we need to understand, God, that you're good all the time. Hallelujah. And it's not because of anything we do, God. It's because of your goodness and your mercy and your grace we have what we have today. Lord, help us to understand today that rejection is part of the process of propelling us into our purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I do think rejection is one of the most hurtful things. It was Joseph, as you know, he had a dream, and he just thought, if I could share it with anybody, it's going to be my brothers. I mean, come on. I'm going to tell you, there's no rivalry like sibling rivalry. There's no arguments like family arguments. There's no stomping your feet and throwing stuff down at the barbecue saying, I'll never speak to you. It's nothing like that. And so Joseph, just the one of the youngest, he was Rachel's firstborn, but it was Jacob's 11th son. And he just decided, I had a dream, I'll share it with my brothers. And they listened to that dream and they like, you got to be kidding. Do you really think that your brothers are going to bow, and daddy and mama is going to bow down to you? And he went about his way. And they when they saw him come, he says, here comes that dreamer again. Here comes that holy roller again. Here comes that tongue talker again. Here comes that holier than thou again. You know, y'all heard all that. And he said, I have yet another dream. And he tells them about the moon and the stars and the solar system and how they're going to make obeisance to him. And they told his father, and his father even calls him in and says, son, you stirred up the whole family. Do you really think your mother and I are going to make, I don't know, daddy, I just had a dream. I just felt I could share it with anybody. It would be with you. And his brothers took him and hated him the more and threw him in a pit. And I'm telling you, it was all in the plan of God. And I kind of bled this over to you. And what happens is he gets to the end. And when he gets to the end, he said, you thought you put me in the pit. You thought you saw. It was God that did that. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Oh, good God, right? Good God, huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, God's good all the time. In the pit, he's still good. In the betrayal, he's still good. In the dungeon, he's still good. Because Joseph was still doing the works of God in the dungeon. My. No, nothing like being rejected by your own flesh and blood. There's no greater affinity than you loving yourself. There's no greater affinity that you have for anybody than yourself. How many of you brushed somebody else's teeth this morning? A few moms raise their hands. Thank the Lord, I'm a dentist, so I'm so glad to thank you, Jesus. It's working, all this preventative dentistry we talk. There's no greater affinity than you tending to yourself. Because we love, come on, we love ourselves. How do I look in this? Yeah, how do I look in this? Well, how do I look in this? You better say good. You better say, oh, you look nice. It's like one lady tried on a dress and she told her husband, she said, honey, do I look a little fat in this to you? And he said, do I look stupid to you? You look great. You look wonderful. And so we love ourselves. We love accolades. We love to say, oh, you look nice today. You got to be careful you don't get drunk on the accolades of men, because they're going to leave you and you'll have the hangover and they'll be gone. And so there's no greater affinity than you have for yourself. The Bible says that no man ever, ever, ever hated himself. If somebody took their own lives, it wasn't them that did it. It was an evil force that did it. Because no man, he said, but he nurtures himself and he loves himself and he cares for himself. Huh. You love yourself. You seek pleasure. What can I do today? My day off, what can I do? And you're going to seek pleasure because you love yourself. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with loving yourself. You ought to love yourself. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. But there's no greater donor than yourself. You do more for yourself than you do for anybody else. That's right. There's no more person that's receptive than yourself. We like to receive things and give ourselves things. It's almost like the flesh and bone of the body. Your own greatest donor is yourself. Yeah. Your own greatest donor is yourself, and your own greatest recipient is yourself. In that, you know, I was talking to a man the other day. He had cancer, and he lost a part of his jawbone. And he was saying, very, very nice man. Good. And I didn't know this had happened to him. He's kind of, you know, like this. And I said, can you still play your saxophone? He said, well, the doctor said I couldn't, but he said, I'm still blowing on it. But I just hate the way this looks. And his daughter said, oh, Daddy, you look great. That's what he needs. He needs somebody to say, Daddy, you look great. You look good. Because when you're like this, you need somebody to make you feel like you're worth something. Because you look at yourself and all of a sudden you're not in love with yourself like you used to be in love with yourself. You need somebody who's still in love with you. But she said, Daddy, you look terrible. You'll never blow that horn again. And beat him down. Lord, he won't go hide. He wouldn't want to face anybody. But she prepped him to face the world, saying, Daddy, you look good. Don't worry about it. I love you the same. You're still my daddy. But I said, well, how did being a dentist? I said, well, how did they restore your jaw? He said, they took a piece of bone out of my hip and made me a jawbone. There's no greater donor than you. You see where I'm going with this? There's no greater donor than you, and there's no greater recipient than you. You can take a piece of bone from one place and put it any place and where it connects to another bone. It's going to take. You can take skin off of any place you want to. You can take it off your big toe if you want to and put it on your nose. It's going to take. Because there's no greater love than the body has for itself. But next in line would be your own flesh and bones, right? Your own flesh and bones. If someone needs a kidney, you and daddy and mama's dead, and you, they're going to say, do you have a brother? Do you have a sister? Do you have somebody? Because there's nobody that ought to be able to prop you up like your own flesh and bones. Even your wife, your husband, that's your own flesh and bones. Yes, it is. These two, he said, become one, become twain. When God made Eve, he made her out of what? A rib out of the side of Adam. It took. He said, when he looked at Eve, he said, this is bone of my bones, and this is flesh of my flesh, and this person shall be called woman or womb man, for out of the side of man took he the woman. And he called her woman, and they took. They took so much, they took so close, they were just alike, that when she ate of the fruit, and the Bible says she was deceived, but Adam was not deceived, the Bible said. And he ate it anyway. If you're going to die, I might as well die with you. That's how close they were. There's blood kin that we have, and if you don't have brothers and sisters, they want to know who your first cousin is. They want to know who your closest kin is. But what do you do when your kin folks say no? Anybody ever come into this truth and met opposition? Let me see your hand. There we go. And you had to find out, I got to go it alone. Hallelujah. There's nothing more hurtful than when you're rejected by your own people. And how do you win when you're against your own bones? David was anointed at least three times. Stay with me this morning. David was anointed at least three times. He was anointed in front of his brethren at the house of Jesse. Samuel comes in, and you know the story. He finally finds the right boy. It's the one that was out in the field. He had already met rejection. Are you hearing me? He had already met rejection. He had looked, Samuel had looked at all of Jesse's boys two times. Not once, but twice. And he said, Lord, don't you have another son? Well, matter of fact, I have one more. He's out shoveling dung at the sheep pen. Well, go get him. That must be him. David had already met, he was already a misfit, and God knew it. God will make sure that you don't fit in with just everybody that calls himself kinfolk. And so David is anointed there in the presence of his brothers to be king. And all he gets to be is the delivery boy, right? They're all fighting wars and all that. He just, hey, he was the go for it boy. Just go fetch it, boy. Bring some cheese and all to your brothers. And while he was out there, the anointing of that first anointing began to come to the surface. He began to look at this giant and began to magnify God greater than the giant, than the problem. And he said, is there not a cause? Why aren't y'all doing something? And there was something, that anointing, amen, it was beginning to do something inside of him that his brothers were sitting there shivering, and he was like, let's go get him. And that was David's first anointing. And David was sort of like Christ. He was rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He was a loner in so many ways, and they did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This was just like Christ, the life of David. And the greatest source of help that your body could ever have this morning is when your own flesh and blood will prop you up. And David could not find that. He could not get help from his own flesh and blood. Since the greatest help you could ever have is when your own body... See, some of y'all are sitting here and your body's fighting for you and you don't even know it. Why are you sitting here? There's something called the immune system, and it's inside of your body, and it's working, and it's fighting off bad cells, and it's attacking this, and it's attacking that, and you're just going on, and you don't even know. That's how much your body loves itself. It's just doing it automatically. But if your body ever turns on itself, it's called an autoimmune disease. AIDS is autoimmune deficiency disease. It's where the body turns on itself. And now the cells that normally would eat up the bad cells, it's eating up the good cells. Your own flesh and blood turning against you. And that is the hardest thing, my friend, to stop and to cure. And it's also the hardest thing in life to deal with is when you have an autoimmune problem in your own family. I might be talking to somebody this morning. When bone of your bones and flesh of your flesh starts attacking you and you find yourself fighting